Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, and welcome to Concussion Dog Podcast, episode 135. I'm talking to Richard Tedeschi. I should check before I'm not saying that name correctly. Richard Tedeschi, or Dr. Richard Tedeschi, Richard Tedeschi, PhD. By the way, he's going to talk about post-traumatic growth, which he wrote an article about that. It really defined the five main responses to post-traumatic growth in 1996, I believe, with his partner Lawrence Calhoun, and they talk about what it means. We'll discuss further, and this is something I thought I've experienced, so we'll talk about that further. But first, before I actually introduce our guest, I will thank our sponsor, Headshake Health. Headshake Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Track Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, rely on Headshake to improve communication and optimize care. Visit headshakehealth.com for more. And now with that, I'm going to thank you so much, Richard Tedeschi, Dr. Tedeschi, Richard Tedeschi. I'm not sure if you're heads up before I introduce you. So say
thank
all
you very much.
Dr. Tedeschi, if I use the easiest. I'll say thank that. So, welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much. And would you just like to, I guess, first briefly, I didn't need to support, but just briefly, your background, and I'll ask you, actually, and also, what is post-traumatic growth? So, I guess I'll get you to answer both at once.
Okay, Nick. As you mentioned, I've been studying post-traumatic growth for many years. Myself and my colleague Lawrence Calhoun at University of North Carolina, Charlotte, worked on this concept, defined it, named it back starting in the 1980s and coined the term in the 1990s. We've been looking at the concept of post-traumatic growth through our research there, and then more recently, in my work at the Boulder Crest Institute for Post-Traumatic Growth, applying this in work with military service veterans and first responders, people with trauma histories. And we have found then that this concept of post-traumatic growth applies to people with all kinds of traumas. Our combat veterans that we've talked about, people have gone through natural disasters, accidents and injuries, like we're talking about here, illnesses of various kinds, life-threatening events, divorces, all sorts of things. And this post-traumatic growth represents a personal transformation that happens because of the struggle in the aftermath of these kinds of events, the struggle with the changed realities that people are confronted with and what it is that their life course is oriented towards because the old life has been disrupted. by these events. So that's what we've been interested in, these personal transformations, and what happens in the aftermath of trauma that creates these important positive personal changes.
Right.
Even in spite of the fact that there are losses and difficulties.
Yes, no, exactly. And as mentioned before, and to you before we started this, that I feel like I've gone through this. I know it takes a long time to get tapped to it. I know you and Dr. and your colleague Dr. Calhoun have also written down. Do you notice the word that I'm trying to use? But the five main responses to the five key responses that you find as post-traumatic growth, which is personal strength, recognizing your own personal strength, spiritual change, new possibilities in life, your strong relationships to other people, and a greater appreciation of life in general. So can you just go into that a bit more generally and just how, does that?
Sure, Nick. Yes. Yeah, so that's correct. So let me go through those five responses. So what we found out in our research when we talked to trauma survivors, originally we had talked to people who had suffered physical disabilities in adulthood or were older people had been bereaved. In our interviews with them, they mentioned some of these kinds of changes. And when we started to look more closely statistically at this, it came down to these five areas. So not everybody changes in all these ways. There's a lot of individual variation on this. Some people change more in one way than another. But among the five, we have first, people sometimes recognizing their personal strength in ways that they had not been able to see before. They say things like, if I've gotten through this, I can get through anything. Or I didn't realize how strong I was, or going through this made me stronger because of all that I had to deal with, things of that kind.
Yeah.
So a sense of personal strength beyond what they had recognized in themselves before is one type of outcome that we see, that we call post-traumatic growth.
Right.
A second outcome that we see is what we called new possibilities. And this is where people, because of the changes in their lives, are directed into a different kind of path or have new priorities or interests that they pursue, often because the things that they used to do are no longer available to them for some reason or another. So they're kind of almost forced in a new direction. Or sometimes they just see that what they used to do just isn't as important to them as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And they set out on a new life path and do things that are different or have more meaning or importance to them. So those possibilities sometimes open up to people in the aftermath of some of these traumatic events. New possibilities.
Right.
A third area that we found that people reported to us, we called spiritual and existential change. And this again has to do with people recognizing something different about living well than they had been able to see before. So by existential change, we mean when people start to ask questions about things like their purpose in life, the meaning of their life, why they exist, like what their life is supposed to be about. And these questions also can get them into sometimes spiritual or theological issues. Questions about God's plan for them or what they should believe about the spiritual realm or the divine. Sometimes because people have encountered events that have been essentially near-death experiences or reminded them of their mortality, or they have been bereaved or lost someone. And in those kinds of circumstances, people start to think about the spiritual realm and life and death and what it means to live life well. And asking those questions can sometimes propel them towards a different perspective and ways of living their lives and how they devote themselves to certain kinds of causes or priorities. So now, another aspect of post-traumatic growth that people sometimes report is appreciation, a greater appreciation for life. Because very often people find that they've been through a loss or losses. And because they're acutely aware of what they've lost, they can become more grateful for what they still have. Mm-hmm. So yeah. This perspective of gratitude and appreciation for what you have can sometimes come after you've experienced loss.
Yeah.
Because you recognize that maybe you had taken things for granted and hadn't really considered how fortunate you are in your life in various ways. And now that's become more apparent. So that greater appreciation of life, not taking things for granted, being more grateful. So it's another type of change.
Right. No, because that's, I mean, it feels like the last appreciation of life is more of a, it's kind of a synopsis of those other four responses. Is to appreciate, as you realize your personal strength and you realize there are so many possibilities in life. And you're, if you have this spiritual awakening, your spirits change, then there's that too. And you're deepening relationships to other people. There's also, you know, with all that together, you kind of appreciate life more. Just because.
I think that's true that all these aspects include some degree of appreciation for things, or certainly a shift in perspective.
Yeah.
In all these areas. And the fifth one I hadn't mentioned yet is a change in your relationships with other people. This is where people become more empathic, maybe, or more understanding or more compassionate for people because they've been through something very difficult and maybe feel more connected with other people who've been through something similar or been through difficulties in their lives. Or maybe they've become closer to other people because in the aftermath of their traumatic circumstances, someone has responded to them well and been supportive or helpful, and has allowed them to grow closer or be more open to people because they've needed support and help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So all these things do involve a shift in a shift in perspective. And sometimes that shift produces a sense of gratitude and appreciation.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. I know for me, this is a bit weird because for me, whereas I might think of this podcast and my website is called Concussion Talk. But some people who have had a concussion, you find the people that nobody recognizes, they can't see their injury, it's invisible injury and all this. And nobody's recognizing it. So they want more, as I would say, that there's like more of a sense of just people not recognizing them, not wanting pity, but where they want more people to recognize their injury. They get sort of pity and people feeling bad for them, which they don't like, I'm sure, until like immediately they finally someone recognize me, but recognize that I'm injured, but they don't. And then pity is just, I find, well, I'm speaking for myself, because I found the first time, I had more severe injury, so it was obvious that I was injured, that I didn't have a major disability inflicted. So I was never looking for people to recognize my injury. And so when the pity came, it quickly became a bit more, it quickly became annoying that I was feeling bad then, so it wasn't that bad. But as the time went on, and it's been now 19 years, and as which happened before this, but pity was just something that really, really rankled me. It was really about people pitying me and wanting to say that, no, look, I'm fine, I'm feeling great, it's the best I've felt ever in my life. And this take is the post-traumatic growth, this more appreciation of life and these new possibilities and personal strength. And I think they were ever in a bad way, but I think they've gone deeper. And so it's just all that, just that the new, like, the understanding that that's just, if you feel like that, do you feel like just like you said, you know, appreciation of life, and just not new appreciation of life. I always appreciate it, but we're just more connected, I feel, with everything, just people, everything. So, and I know you work at especially at Boulder Crest, which we'll mention more later on, which I encourage anyone, especially in the military or police or any first responders, EMTs, hospital, anything, just want to learn about that more. And and I would love to help try to get that set up in Canada more, especially in Newfoundland. And I feel like there's a really good opportunity. Fortunately, now Newfoundland is where it's located geographically, hinders how you can get how easy it is to get people here. But it's still, I think it's a great place to start. And I'd love to help get that message here. But I wanted to get you more explain more about your time, because you're as a psychologist, you want to help people. So how can you encourage this sort of post-traumatic growth in people who have just suffered, for example, on my west coast of the sound, there's a devastating hurricane that we have talked about. So how can you encourage that? I know you can't encourage right away because people are just coping with their loss right away, but how can it be encouraged as in a psychological standpoint?
Well,
jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is where we have learned that facilitating and encouraging these growth processes is something that anybody can be involved in. You don't have to be a psychologist like me to be able to facilitate that. So, in fact, at Boulder Crest, our programs for veterans and first responders are all run by veterans and first responders themselves, not by me. Right. I help train and develop things and evaluate things, but the programs themselves are run by the peers, the people who've been there, understand, know, been there themselves, you know. So this post-traumatic growth process is facilitated most effectively when people who go through trauma
expert companions, right?
Exactly. Find an expert companion. That's exactly what I was about to say. So this is where we emphasize companionship, someone who can be with another person who's going through this, who can be a good listener, who can show compassion and understanding, who has humility to realize that they can't fix things or know the answers to things. They're not so much an advice giver, not that so much as a companion who wants to learn what it's like for that trauma survivor to go through what they're going through.
Exactly.
And their version of this, you know, just like you were talking about earlier with me, with your concussion podcast here, you realize that people have all kinds of different experiences with brain injury. There's all kinds of degrees of this and different personal experiences with it, and so you have to understand what one person's experience is like and not assume it's just like yours or somebody else that you would know.
Exactly.
So learning from people, being such a good listener, to realize that you've got to understand and learn by being with someone for some period of time and being a good listener. That's an important part of expert companionship. And when you do that with someone, you facilitate growth because you can start to be more open and talk more openly about what they've been through, knowing that it's a safe environment or a safe relationship to be in, and to start to explore not only what happened to me, but what's going to happen next? What should I do? How can I move forward? Where can I go with this? So expert companions also encourage people to look forward, seeing their capabilities, their strengths, what they've learned, and to try to figure out how to live life well in the aftermath of these traumas, taking something from what they've been going through as a value that tells them more about living life well, or ultimately, like we see at Boulder Crest, coming up with a way of being of service, a benefit to others, doing something with your life that allows you to serve.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of your story, Nick. That's part of why you're doing these podcasts, and that's part of your active service, I think.
I also, thank you. I'm not sure if these two terms are like general psychological, or do you explicitly suggest them in your articles? So, to be honest, I haven't read the whole all of your work, all of your scholarly work, but the experiential avoidance and cognitive exploration. Read an article by Scott Kaufman, Scott Barry Kaufman, and talked about how those things are just two aspects of just any traumatic or stressful event, and already not in response to that, just in general responses to life, but also could you talk about those, how those impact the post-traumatic response, and also with that, what Boulder Crest is and what you do there, what not you personally do there, what the institute does there.
Well, yes, because first of all, what we've found with post-traumatic growth is avoidance is something you want to minimize in the aftermath of trauma, meaning avoiding dealing with the memories of it, avoiding challenges to yourself. Those kinds of avoidances keep people down, hold them back. What we try to encourage is people to open themselves up to experience. be more open rather than avoidant. So open people up to new ways of seeing things, new experiences, new ways of doing things, seeing their life going forward as allowing for possibility and change. So that's a lot of what we do at Boulder Crest,
right.
Is we have small groups of people in our programs that last about a week, groups of 6 to 8.
Where are the programs are in Boulder Crest, but where is Boulder Crest?
Boulder Crest, we started in Virginia, outside of Washington, D.C., with our campus there that was built by Ken Falk, who founded the organization back around 2014 or so, and donated this property and started building it. And then since then, we've acquired a ranch out in Arizona outside of Tucson, where we have another property. Both of these things, both these properties are in rural, beautiful rural areas where we can do a lot of activity outside, outdoor activities, as well as more kind of group discussion and classroom activities, where it's all built on this post-traumatic growth model and where people learn first about how trauma impacts people physically and psychologically. So we educate people about that so they realize that the struggles they're having are not their fault. It's because this is how trauma deals with human beings. So yeah. That's important.
Yeah.
You let people know that it's not what's wrong with them, it's what's happened to them. And then we help them try to figure out ways to regulate their emotions, because in the aftermath of trauma, people have often a lot of anxiety and depression and emotional responses that they have to learn how to manage. And we teach them management techniques like meditation techniques, calming techniques, breathing techniques, ways of thinking that allow people to be more focused and calm. And that's what some of our outdoor activities involve. We have people work with horses. We have people do archery. We have people do kayaking, all kinds of things, which are calming activities where you have to be in a calm state of mind in order to do them. So that's part of our program. And then of course we have people talk, disclose about their experiences, but not so much the traumas, but what's going to happen next, where they're going, the impact of the trauma on them and where they want to move forward, so that they can start to see that there's a story of their life that they're living and they can author that story. They can write their story going forward
that
includes post-traumatic growth.
Yeah.
And that ultimately benefits others, where they can see themselves as having value in a life of service.
Right.
So that's the Boulder Crest program there in a nutshell.
Yes.
It takes about a week for people to go through that. But then after that, they have 90 days of additional online experiences and training. And then they can go up to 18 months with that if they wish, through different kinds of online resources and meetings that we can have. And we've also partnered with other retreat centers throughout the United States. So this program is offered in some of the retreat centers that are our partners in Florida and Georgia, South Carolina, Arkansas, Maine's pretty close. So
it's close we get.
Yeah, that's right. Washington State. So we've got a variety of different partners, and we're expanding that all the time. So our programs are available through a large geographical area.
That's amazing. I've read so much about this idea of this concept of post-traumatic growth. And I just felt so good about it because it really speaks to me, like how my journey, because yeah, as you were saying, the point you ran up is these five responses are not step responses, they're not step by step responses. They occur in different intervals in different ways. So could you talk about that, and just in general, what you'd like people to know about post-traumatic growth, what you and Lawrence Calhoun, Dr. Calhoun, just to me, what you guys really felt was the important part of the important aspect of post-traumatic growth you wanted to get out there?
Yes. I described these elements of the process, the education, the emotional regulation, the disclosure and the development of the narrative or story of one's life and planning how to be of service. That's something that people can do on their own, but hopefully with some expert companions in their lives
that
could encourage them. So post-traumatic growth is something that's available and accessible to people. And we found in our research early on, that when we looked at that process, I mean, most people are going through that without any professional help.
Yeah.
This is a natural process
that
people find their way toward very often, along with expert companions. So we wrote a workbook called the Post-Traumatic Growth Workbook. Myself and my colleague Brett Moore from Boulder Crest, so that people can use that to guide themselves through post-traumatic growth.
Where is it available? Is it available online though? Or?
Yes, it's available through New Harbinger Press, and you can get through Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any of these online sellers, or New Harbinger Press itself. So you can use the workbook to help guide you through that process. It explains a lot of this that we've been talking about today. It has different exercises in it that you do some of the exercises and can help you figure out how to move through this process of growth.
Right.
But like you said earlier, it takes time. This is not something that's instantaneous. It's really not so much you arrive at post-traumatic growth, it's a way of living. And that's what I'd like to emphasize here, and Dr. Calhoun and I emphasize. Yeah. It's a way of living life that allows continued growth and development. So it's a perspective, it's a way of living, a way of treating yourself and your relationships with other people, your perspective on living life that allows for continuing growth and development, so that you essentially become wiser about how to live life well.
Yeah, no, because I think that's so important. And by doing that, by always wanting to always growing, and it's kind of such a positive experience in life. Just that life is just nothing but good things can happen, or not necessarily good things, but things that happen that you can't, and they're only good and bad in retrospect. If you look back on them, which is if you're growing, then it's just part of the learning experience and changes your perspective of those events. It's kind of, I'm not explaining well, but get the idea. I hope so. I think that's so important. And I really wouldn't encourage anybody in Canada, because that's where I am, and in Newfoundland, in Canada and Newfoundland, Labrador, I should say, that wants to encourage the Boulder Crest type of institute to come to the experience, what you learned there, to come here, to please reach out to Richard Chesky or myself or me perfectly, because Richard does his own thing in Boulder Crest. But look at Boulder Crest, and where can you find out more about Boulder Crest?
You can go online to bouldercrest.org, bouldercrest.org, to our website. And you can find out more about post-traumatic growth, about the Boulder Crest programs. A lot of information there for the public. So feel free to contact us that way.
Great. Well, I think that's very important. As I was trying to say, but I kind of rambled through it, was that just to, if anybody in Canada wants to experience what the Boulder Crest has to offer, and in Canada within I mean, because military, the first responders, and just anybody who's gone through the institutional migrants, we can figure a way to get these people to know it's probably the donors run this or have donated us their land and their time. So, and also, so please just reach out to me or and look at boulderpass.org and find a way to reach out to. I've had the opportunity to talk to Josh Goldberg, who is the director of at Virginia. Is that right?
That's right. He's the executive director in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Executive director. So I've had the great experience to talk to him, and we both have been such a positive view of life as well. So it's just, and this is so important to people who have gone through trauma to actually realize that it's not all, it's not PTSD, it's not necessarily the only response to trauma, although you can get through PTSD and post-traumatic growth, so it's not one or the other. And I should end on explaining a bit more of that, and then we'll wrap up, and I'll say, first of all, I'll let you end on that, but I'll as well say thank you very much for now, and please do not hang up, because I will want to say thank you more than just on the podcast, so thank you so much, and hope you'll see him, but first, Dr. Tedeschi will tell us about what post-traumatic growth, post-traumatic stress disorder, and post-traumatic growth, and not go hand in hand necessarily, but they can coincide.
Yes, well, I'll have to say post-traumatic growth comes out of the same kind of experiences as post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic experiences. So the experiences people have that are labeled this post-traumatic stress disorder, again, are things like being more easily startled, having flashbacks and unpleasant memories of trauma, a change in your thinking patterns that result in more anxiety and depression, changing in your perspective that makes the world look negative to you. There's all kinds of things like this that are the consequences of going through trauma for many people. Post-traumatic growth comes out of the same kinds of disturbances in your world and your life experience as PTSD, but it drives you in a potentially different direction, as we've just been describing. This does not mean that all the symptoms of PTSD go away. They can still be present to some degree, but in our programs at Boulder Crest, we see they're much reduced when people start to move towards post-traumatic growth, and they're more easily tolerated what's left. Post-traumatic growth can be something that helps mitigate PTSD, you know, it doesn't necessarily make everything about life easy. It doesn't make everything perfect. It doesn't make everything happy, but it does help people find more meaning.
Yes.
So, and that can carry you a long way.
Excellent. Well, as I said, I started talking now, but thank you so much for coming on and telling everybody what anybody went through brain injury. I think it's important to hear, to recognize that this concussion or some more severe brain injury, but and any injury or illness for that matter, event for that matter. But this podcast is about brain injury. So just want to thank you so much, and to encourage everybody to look up bouldercrest.org, whether you're in Canada or in the US or anywhere in the world. So just look it up and realize that there is potential to grow, although it may seem dire at the time, but there's a definitely. You can. It's not always going to be. As time goes on, it's tough here. But as time goes on, things you get a different perspective. But also, you also have to encourage yourself to look for those. To really read Dr. Tedeschi's work and find out how you can encourage this sort of response. So I hope that that's legitimate what I'm saying there. But. Thank you so much, Dr. Tedeschi, and please listen again soon, and then please check out his bouldercrest.org. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.